Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. We are back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We are back to the subject of Principles of Christian Liberty, so badly misunderstood by so many, some of whom don't appreciate and don't have the ability, don't have the luxury, that's not the word I'm trying to come up with now, don't have the clear conscience to exercise Christian liberty where it's appropriate. And other Christians who use the claim of Christian liberty where it doesn't apply. Use the claim of Christian liberty to do things that the Bible forbids. And the truth lies between these two extremes. You've got the, if you want to attach terms to it, you've got the legalists on the one hand and the libertarians on the other hand. You've got the legalists on the one hand who are bound by rules that are not the law of God, not the word of God, not the commandments of God, not the instructions of God, are not forbidden by God, but here they are all tied up in knots over things that the Bible gives them perfect liberty to participate in. And then you've got on the other hand, Christians who run roughshod over the commands and prohibitions of God's Word, and they do them anyway and claim that they're doing them because they have the Christian liberty to do them. Shame, shame, shame. We don't want to be either a legalist, in either by living like one under the bondage of rules and regulations that the Bible doesn't give, or even worse, by teaching others to do that. We don't want to be a legalist, nor do we want to be a libertarian, by disobeying the laws of God and excusing that disobedience with the mantra of Christian liberty. So that's why I'm taking as much time as I am with this subject, and we find this very helpful section of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, January 27. And thanks for those who are making it possible with your financial gifts to the Beacon Broadcast. General principles, we've already covered them. There are boundaries of Christian liberty. Christian liberty does not apply to things that the Bible forbids. Furthermore, there are constraints on Christian liberty. Even things which we have the liberty to participate in, if it doesn't help others or the cause of Christ, if it doesn't edify others and build them up, then we are glad, listen to me now, we are glad to forego the exercise of a rightful Christian liberty for the welfare of others. Can I get an amen there? That's what the Bible teaches. Don't be so selfish. Don't be so self-centered. Don't be so unloving. Don't be so unconcerned about the welfare of others. Those are general principles. Specific examples we went over yesterday, verses 25, 26, and 27, which told us that it's perfectly okay to eat meat bought in the marketplace at home without asking any questions. Doesn't matter how it got to the marketplace. Whether it got there by way of the idol's temple the day before, or whether it came from the farmer's field or the slaughterhouse. Doesn't matter. Does not matter. Neither the food you eat at home in the private setting or the food that you eat at your neighbor's house, the neighbor who is an unbeliever and who worships at the idol's temple, whatever he sets before you at the meal that you've accepted the invitation to go and to participate in, eat it without asking any questions. It will not dishonor the Lord for you to eat that meat. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it came from the idol's temple. It does not matter. It's not in the idol's temple anymore, and it's not being used as an act of worship to an idol anymore. It doesn't matter. Eat it without asking any questions for conscience sake. That's when to eat. But now, moving on with specific examples, we come to this section on when not to eat. There are some times when this same meat that you have the liberty and even the encouragement to eat in certain settings ought not to be eaten in other settings. Verse 28, but, should I back up to verse 25 so you can get the but contrast in its in mind? Verse 25, eat whatever is sold in the marketplace, asking no questions for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. Verse 27, if any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience sake. And now we come to verse 28. But here's a different situation. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat. Do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Okay. When not to eat. When someone identifies the food as idol meat, don't eat it. If you don't know where it came from, don't ask. If you don't know where it came from, don't try to attach an origin to it. If you don't know where it came from, don't play detective and try to figure out if this came from an idol's temple. Don't do that. But if somebody else identifies this as meat that was offered to idols, if anyone, doesn't say who, anyone, don't eat it. Why? Because now it does matter. Before it didn't. Now it does. Why? Well, number one, because if someone told you that it was offered to an idol, then it apparently matters to them. It doesn't really matter to you. That's already been covered. Doesn't matter. Eat whatever meat you buy in the marketplace without asking any questions, doesn't matter where it came from. Eat any meat that's set before you at your neighbor's house without asking any questions. It doesn't matter where it came from. But if someone says, this meat was offered to an idol, now you don't eat it. Why? Because now it does matter. It didn't before, but now it does, because clearly the person who made that comment has some significant attachment to the fact that it was offered in an idol's temple. You now know, here's the point, you now know that it is connected with idol worship in his mind. Still, it doesn't really matter for your sake, because you know better, but obviously in his mind there is a questionable connection. So when he tells you this meat was offered to an idol, your eating now implies endorsement of idolatry. It didn't before because nobody made the connection. Nobody said that. Nobody identified it as meat offered to an idol. But now somebody says, this meat was offered to idols, and now you will have to say, oh. In that case, I respectfully decline because I do not believe in worshiping idols. Because now eating implies endorsement of idolatry. This identification does not affect its fundamental reality. That's why two or three times in this section, Paul goes back to that phrase, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The fact that it was offered to an idol doesn't really change the food. It doesn't change the meat. Obviously not change its composition, but it doesn't really even change how it relates to us as believers. But it does now affect, listen to me now, perceived reality. It doesn't affect fundamental reality. Nothing's really changed, but it affects perceived reality. It now has revealed the defective understanding of somebody else who relates it to idolatrous worship. And, as we've seen earlier, the welfare of others is more important than my personal freedom. I know, it's not... You hate to give up a good steak that was set before you and you were getting ready to enjoy it, and now somebody says, that was meat offered to idols, and you say, oh, I'm not going to eat that. And you know there's nothing wrong with a steak, and it wouldn't dishonor the Lord for you to eat it, except that this identification reveals the defective understanding of another person, and if they think you're eating it is going to endorse idolatrous worship, you're not going to do it because the welfare of others is more important than your own Christian liberty. This is not the time to correct their misunderstanding. This is not their time to say, well, don't you know? It doesn't matter. No. Their statement makes it clear that the reality is defective in their mind. So this is the time to exercise your voluntary restraint for the sake of others. This is the time to exercise voluntary restraint as a matter of gospel witness to the pagan person who might have told you that this food was offered to an idol. And you don't want to let him think that you endorse the worship of idols. Or this is the time to exercise voluntary restraint for the sake of a Christian brother who is weak in his understanding. You've got a Christian brother who has not completely understood the principles of Christian liberty. He hasn't completely come out from under his legalistic way of thinking. He doesn't have a clear conscience regarding that food. He's bothered by the fact that it was offered to an idol. And even though you know, once it left the idol's temple, was sold in the marketplace, it had no more connection to idolatry, he has now made the connection, he has now reconnected the link, he has hooked it up, bypassing the marketplace, he's hooked it back up to the idol's temple, he's made it clear that he doesn't have a clear conscience about eating this, and therefore you're not going to eat it either because you might make him to stumble. Paul said in another place, if meat causes my brother to stumble, I will eat no meat while the world stands. It's not worth it for me to exercise my Christian liberty and enjoy that steak if by doing that I'm going to bring harm to a Christian brother or I'm going to cloud the testimony of Jesus Christ in regard to idol worship. Important principles. And we will take them up again tomorrow, Lord willing. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.